We have been looking at Jesus' Sermon on the Mount over the last number of weeks. And today we're in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. And Jesus said, "It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for marital unfaithfulness, causes her to become an adulteress. And anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery." And now we're going to turn to Matthew chapter 19, where we have another occasion when Jesus addresses the subject of divorce, but this time in a little bit more detail. Matthew 19 and verse 3, Jesus says, "Some Pharisees came to him to test him, and they asked, 'Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for any and every reason?' 'Haven't you read,' he replied, 'that at the beginning the Creator made them male and female, and said, for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So they're no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let man not separate.' 'Why then,' they asked, 'did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away?' And Jesus replied, 'Moses permitted you to divorce your wives because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness and marries another woman commits adultery.' The disciples said to him, 'If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it is better not to marry.'" And today we come to this very important and yet very difficult and painful subject of divorce. Divorce has become a fact of life in our day. And those who have experienced it know firsthand the pain that divorce causes. You might personally know the pain of divorce, either through your own personal experience or because within your family there has been divorce. And no doubt, for many, this subject is a very difficult one, and you have memories of things that are deeply painful and personal to you. And yet, it is essential that we seek to understand and deal with what the scriptures say about divorce. If you were a child of a divorced family, you too will know the pain that is associated with divorce. When I was 12, my parents separated. And then, a little bit later, they divorced. And I remember vividly, to this very day, my tears and the crushing pain I felt when I was told my father would not be coming home. You know, as an aside, let me just say right here, when a marriage ceases, parenthood does not. You know, there was a time that divorce was rarely found in Christian evangelical circles. But to our shame, that is no longer the case. Divorce rates among Christians are similar, if not the same, as the world around us. George Barna, who is a Christian researcher, reports that there is no substantial difference between the moral behavior of Christians to that of non-Christians. Barna says, "We would love to report that Christians are living very distinct lives and impacting their communities because of that. But in the area of divorce, the Christian church has roughly the same record as that of the world." It would seem that Christians have bought into the myth that marriage is a convenience that you can come in or out of whenever you please. So when things are tough, or you find something that you think looks better or a better option, you get out. In fact, it seems many Christians have rejected the biblical teaching about love, about sex, about marriage, and about divorce. And having seemingly rejected it, and they are choosing to live differently from God's word, are reaping the consequences now of that. And I am aware of the deep pain that some of you have gone through regarding divorce. And though you might have thought this would never happen to you, yet it has. And I'm not here to lay blame or heap judgment or condemnation on anyone. Matter of fact, let me just take a moment to remind each one of us that in one area or another in our lives, we all need healing. We've all got issues and problems. We need the forgiving and transforming work of Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. Now, in the context of what we've been talking about in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, you know, there's this outward and inward dichotomy, which is something that we all struggle with. We act one way outwardly with others, but inwardly we struggle with so many conflicting things. And family life and marriage are often what get fabricated the most so that it looks good to others. And yet, sadly, reality is that many marriages have become the place of torment and abuse and power struggles and hurt, and are not the places of fulfillment and joy and protection and love and peace that they were meant to be. When the Pharisees asked Jesus about divorce in Matthew 19, his answer to them was not to answer their question about divorce, but rather it was to talk about marriage. And I'm going to do the same thing, because if we're going to understand divorce, we first must understand it in the context of what marriage is and why divorce is such a mockery of that. We're going to briefly look at three things today. First, marriage is a commitment. The starting point for marriage is not that it is a convenience or a nice idea, but rather it is a commitment. God's first word on marriage comes to us in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh. They become committed to each other. They're to leave and cleave. Marriage is when and where the husband and the wife commit themselves in their relationship to each other. Marriage is where you work out that commitment by loving and caring for each other, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, until death separates you. The commitment of love and marriage goes beyond romance and starry-eyed notions. It is not the convenience for something that's convenient that you hope gets better. And if it gets tough, well, you can just walk away from it until something better comes along. Marriage is a commitment. Now, all marriages have their ups and downs and struggles. All couples have to work on building a good marriage. But it seems many Christians have bought into the myth of ease and a good life and glamour and prosperity and eternal youthfulness and always being in that perfect shape with nothing ever going wrong. You know, that's not reality. Marriage is the determined commitment to seek after each other's good, to cherish each other, to shelter each other, to protect each other, to nurture each other, to look after each other and edify each other, to be patient with each other, and to love each other. Marriage is about providing a safe and secure environment in which your children are to be nurtured in. When Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 6, "So they are no longer two but one, therefore what God has joined together, let man not separate." Jesus is saying this is a divine ordinance. It is not a human convenience. And when Jesus said this, his disciples responded in Matthew chapter 19 and verse 10, "If this is the situation between a husband and wife, it's better not to marry." They were saying, "Wow, if it's that level of commitment, it's better not to marry." And Jesus said, "You're right. And if you're not prepared to do that, don't marry." This is not, you know, let's just try it out and play house for a while and see if we're a good fit and a good match and if we can make it. And if not, well, we'll just move on. That's not what marriage is about in the scriptures. The permanence of the marriage relationship is God's will and purpose for us. So because of that, divorce is not ever the will of God. This is stated very clearly in the book of Malachi, chapter 2 and verse 16, where God says, "I hate divorce." And if you've been part of a divorce, you probably hate it too, because you know firsthand the heartache and the pain of breaking something that was designed to be precious and good and permanent. Now, it is against this background that we have the second point. Divorce is a concession. Jesus concedes that divorce does take place in Matthew 5:31. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. And that had been said by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 24. But the point of the discussions the Pharisees were having with Jesus in Matthew 19 was, what situation can enable a husband to give a certificate of divorce to his wife? In other words, how can they do it? You may have noticed this is all about husbands divorcing their wives, because under Jewish law, a wife could not divorce her husband. The reason being, the husband was to be the protector of his wife. She was supposed to be protected and cared for by him. And since Matthew is writing to Jews, he cites the Jewish law. Now, in Mark's gospel, Mark's gospel is written to Gentiles. And Mark reflects the Roman civil law. And in Mark chapter 10, you read about a woman is being permitted to divorce her husband. But as we're in Matthew, Matthew speaks from a man's perspective of divorcing his wife. Now, the debate amongst the Jewish leaders around this was huge. But Jesus cut through all the rhetoric, and the only reason he concedes for divorce is marital unfaithfulness. In Matthew 5:32, Jesus said, "But I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness." And the reason being is that marital unfaithfulness is the act that breaks the exclusiveness of the marriage bond. The sexual union in a marriage is an exclusive union between the couple. And to violate that is to break the union and the vow into which you have entered. And behind this is the root issue of what Jesus had just addressed in Matthew chapter 5, being adultery and lust, which we spoke about last week. In fact, in the King James Version of the Bible, it puts all these things together in one paragraph, which may or may not be accurate, as it is difficult to know exactly. But it would almost seem that Jesus talks about divorce in the very same breath after he's talked about lust and adultery. Marriage is about a man and a woman becoming one. And the two becoming one involves a whole lot more than just sleeping together. Becoming one is the long and sometimes painful process of caring for and nurturing and protecting and loving and releasing each other to come to their full potential in the context of being one. This is not, you do as I say, and you better wait on me and get whatever I want. Marriage is about submitting to and serving each other. And the breaking of the sexual union is the only grounds that Jesus gives for divorce, because of the sacredness of that union that is needed to be protected. And if you're in a situation where the sexual faithfulness has been broken, there is, of course, forgiveness. But if you are the guilty party, don't expect your spouse to say, "Oh, that's okay, I forgive you," and you just carry on. That forgiveness will be a long, slow process in rebuilding the respect and trust that you have broken. Now, the third point comes out of the question asked in Matthew 19 and verse 7, and it's implied back in Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew 19:7, it says, "Why then," they asked, Did Moses command that a man give his wife a certificate of divorce and send her away? And Jesus' response is in verse 8, because your hearts were hard, but it was not this way from the beginning. Actually, Moses in Deuteronomy is completely silent about what those issues might be. And it's probably for a good thing that he was, and a good reason he was, because if Moses had made a list of things, well, we would have made that a legal list today. This is what it is. Basically, a certificate of divorce was issued because of people's sinful and hard hearts, and it's no different today. Like when one marriage partner is abusing the other marriage partner, there's absolutely no grounds at all for a woman, or a man for that matter, to stay living under the same roof in an abusive situation. You need to separate. You need to get help. You need to get your issues sorted out before the abusing partner has the privilege of having their spouse back. And that might not just be physical abuse. It might be emotional or psychological abuse as well. Where one person is abusing and controlling and manipulating the other person and is basically destroying them. And if you are treating your spouse cruelly, or you're abusing them emotionally or sexually or physically, then because of your hardness of heart, a divorce might occur. Because of your unwillingness and humility to sacrifice your ego and serve and look after your spouse and cherish them and nurture them. Basically, a certificate of divorce was granted to protect the abused person. But divorce should never happen. You know, all marriages, and I repeat, all marriages can survive and thrive. Just as in all marriages can fail. Yes, all marriages can fail. All marriages take work. If you're a Christian, your life has been given to Jesus Christ. And Jesus is committed to your marriage and to everything to which God is committed to. Jesus will provide every need that you have, but you have to be willing to do the work. Don't be afraid of conflict or differences. They can actually be good for a marriage. You know, it was the late Ruth Graham who said, if you are both the same, one of you is unnecessary. Proverbs 27:17 says, as iron sharpens iron, so one man, so one woman, so one person sharpens another. Now, in the last half of Matthew chapter 5 and verse 32, Jesus says, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife except for marital unfaithfulness causes her to become an adulteress, and anyone who marries the divorced woman commits adultery. What is Jesus saying here? You know, these words have created a lot of discussion and brought up all kinds of questions, and I don't claim to have the answer to them. You know, how can a divorcing a woman cause her to become an adulteress? I can understand how it can be argued that divorce is wrong. It can be argued that divorce is painful. It can be argued that divorce is sinful. It can be argued that divorce is destructive. But how can it be argued that divorce is adultery? You know, adultery involves some kind of sexual unfaithfulness. The only thing I could say is, could it be because you would be either forcing the person into another marriage, or you would be bringing them into another marriage relationship? I don't know. But the issue here is actually not about remarriage. The issue is about divorce. And because of the seriousness of divorce, let me say, where and when it can be avoided, it should be avoided. But because of the sinfulness of people's hard and broken hearts, divorce does and will happen. And if you find yourself facing that situation, know that it will require a lot of prayer and seeking the Lord's guidance and patience on your part as to what you are to do. Let's pray. Lord, our sin causes all kinds of trouble. Help us to see and confront the sin issues in our life and to allow you to deal with them. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.